You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present the Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Everyone, and welcome to the Health Hub. I'm Kathy Biasa, your host, and along with our producer, Alex Diaz, we would like to welcome you to our show this Tuesday morning. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning to our listeners. I'm not doing too badly, actually, at the moment. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Thanks.
Excellent. Everyone, you're going to have to bear with us a bit. We are doing this from the comfort of our own home, so the technology may not be as on point as we're used to, but we're making the best of the situation, and Alex is going to use his powers of production to make everything really run smoothly. So thank you for your patience, and as we all are doing, we are dealing with the time, and such is life for us.
It's definitely a time of patience and learning how to adapt. I think especially a lot of us are working from home these days, given the circumstances. And I think it's kind of important to sort of have like an area in which we can have our workspace and separate from our personal times with our family, because it's always constantly on our minds in terms of work. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if in your case.
I agree. I do. It's, oh, in our case, yeah, I've got two of my daughters are at home, you know, constantly in the house, and my husband is at home, so he's sort of taken over my office. I'm actually recording from my bedroom, so we have to be bendy and we have to adapt, but we'll get through it because that's human nature and that's us, and with positive presence, we will get through all this. So I'm not concerned about that. It's just, you know, as we go day by day, we have to look at, you know, we have to be grateful for things. We can't be focusing on what we can't, but we need to be focusing on what we're grateful for. And that's actually something that I'd like to talk about. So as you obviously know, the show is being recorded. We would like you to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at the Health Hub RMC. And if you'd like to email us, we are at thh@radiomaria.ca. And do subscribe to our podcasts. We are the Health Hub, and we are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all your favorite podcast platforms. And you can find the podcast on the Radio Maria Canada website, which is www.radiomaria.ca. And you can find them on my new website, kathybiasse.com. They're much easier on my website to find now. So I'm very happy that that's all been done. So Alex, as we were sort of alluding to, I think it's really important during this time where we have sort of lost control of what we can do, where we're being asked to stay at home, to ride the storm out of this virus. I think we're all doing a wonderful job, but I think as time goes on and our routines are being changed about, I think it's important that maybe we establish new routines, because routine can help to ground us and they can help us to improve our mental health. So developing a daily routine is becoming very important. And I have to say, my daughter is doing a wonderful job of this. She was telling me last night that she has set out a particular time of the day for working, a particular time for exercise, and a particular time to work on her own mental health, whether it be coloring, puzzles, watching TV. And I think that's what we all need to start doing now, because we don't know how long this is going to last. We know it's going to be done, but we don't know how long it will last. So developing a routine can give us back that sense of control that a lot of us are feeling we have lost. And this is important for our mental health. There are a lot of wonderful, wonderful trainers and gyms that are giving us ample home exercises and routines to work on our physical health, but we really need to work on our mental health as well. And we all know that the mental piece is key for a whole healthy body. So just a few tidbits of trying to figure out that routine and set that routine is starting off with having a goal. Having a goal every day, something, a small thing that you will want to achieve. And this will keep you motivated and it will keep you from falling into a pattern of maybe procrastination. You know, we are going to come out the other side of this, and we want to make sure that jolting out into real life isn't another big event in our life. So we want to try not to procrastinate on things and develop routines and develop goals. And if we have a goal every day, and achieve that goal, that sort of helps eliminate that procrastination. And you, by counting on certain things getting done. So to help prevent procrastination and these bad habits from starting to form, here are a couple of, a list of five or six, I haven't counted them. Plan what you want to eat, meal plan. And I don't know about everyone listening out there, but having people home constantly is a big requirement for food and having, you know, dinners ready and constantly, what are we eating? And, you know, and when we're restricted about going into the grocery stores, this is a bit challenging. So plan what you want to eat, plan when to eat. Make sure that you are keeping to this same bed routine. Sleep is key for physical health and vital for mental health. So don't go off your sleep routine. Go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. And these are this is a great time to learn something new. You know, there are great apps out there. I downloaded Playing Piano. This is a really good time. You're at home. Tackle something new. Keep your mind working. You know, these are all really good things, a good timing to do this.
Yeah.
Moving your body. Find something to laugh about. That's important. I'm coming out with a post in a couple of days. I've been doing some research on some really good apps for mental health. So I've come up with three of them. But another thing that we've talked about many times on our show is giving gratitude. There is always something in your day to be thankful for. So wake up in the morning, go to bed at night, giving gratitude.
I'm thinking it's even more important, one could say, to be thankful in these times of difficulty, because ideally we could use these opportunities to grow and become more confident within ourselves, right? And
you know, we can look to the negative and we don't want to do that. So yeah, I think it's important. I think you're right. And another one is getting dressed. Wake up in the morning and get dressed. This really changes your mindset. And this is something that I've just started doing. I was walking around in my pajamas and house coat, like, why bother? But getting dressed really starts your day, and then getting undressed at the end of the day finishes your day. You want to have patterns. You know, and as much as we can look at the negative aspects of social media, I have seen some amazing examples of human kindness and some great ideas for seizing this moment and finding meaning, because this will pass and let's find meaning in it. And one that really stood out to me was a mom who has her children now. Every time they have, boy, I wish I could see a friend, boy, I wish I could see grandma, they write those boy, I wishes on a piece of paper. And they're putting them in a jar. And her intention is that when this time is done, they are going to look back and they are going to pull these wishes and wants and make her children realize just how wonderful of a life that they actually do have. Because it's these small things that we're missing. And I think personally, it's understanding the meaning of these small things that will really make us grateful for our life as a whole. So there you are. I wish you all the best of health and wellness, and we will come out of this, but we have to be mindful right now. So on to our guest. Our guest is Ariel Garten. Ariel is co-founder of the breakthrough technology Muse. She is a psychotherapist, neuroscientist, mom, former fashion designer, and the female founder and visionary of an amazing and highly successful startup company called Muse. Muse tracks your brain during meditation to give you real-time feedback on your meditation, guiding you into the zone and solving the problem most of us have when starting a meditation practice. Muse lets you know when you are doing it and if you are doing it right. When Ariel is not reading brains or investing, inspiring and advising other startups and women in business, you can find her on stages across the world, from TED to MIT to SXSW. She inspires people to understand what they can accomplish, and she helps them to learn and to really understand what's going on in their own mind. Ariel is also the co-host of the Untangled podcast. Our learning points today, among many, of course, are: why should we meditate? Is there a strategy to meditating properly? And what science is there to back the benefits of meditating as a whole? So everybody, we will be back to talk to Ariel after our break.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. Send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out.
You're listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back, everybody. As mentioned, our show today is taped, so no opportunity for calling in. But please do follow us on our social sites. As was mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at The Health Hub RMC on all three. So Ariel, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
It is my pleasure to be here in Toronto with you.
Yes, we just actually, at the break, we were talking about it. We're a fellow Torontonian, so really great. It's great to have such a wonderful presence right in our own community. So great to meet you. Great to get to know you over the next little bit. And, you know, we have so much to talk about because this product that you've co-founded is awesome. But before we get into that, let's sort of lay the land, because I think it's important for people to get the backstory before we actually get into your product. It just makes everything so much more meaningful. So, you know, you've had such a very interesting lead up to where you are now. Maybe you can explain that to us and really give us an insight in how the practice of meditation has become foundational for you in your life.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. I live in Little Italy now, and I've grown up downtown my whole life. And I went to the University of Toronto, where I studied psychology and neuroscience. And I was always fascinated with the brain and how it worked. And I had a very early interaction with a professor called Dr. Steve Mann. He's a U of T professor who's the inventor of the wearable computer. And he had an early brain-computer interface system that I began collaborating with him with, where you could actually take an EEG lead, like the same EEG system that they have in laboratories and hospitals, and you could use it to actually sonify your mind, actually hear what was going on in your mind. And I was studying to be a neuroscientist at the time, and we started to create these experiences where you could actually start to interact with sound by shifting your brain state. So as you focused or as you relaxed, you could actually hear what was going on inside your mind. When you focused, you could make one sound. When you relaxed, you'd make the other sound, because we'd be able to translate your brain activity using this EEG machine. And I sort of stood back and said, this is incredible. You know, our brain is the foundation of our life. Our brain is how we interpret the world around us. And there's so few resources to help you interact directly with your brain. And yet we had basically invented one, you know, right here in Canada. And we started to think, what are the best ways that we can apply this technology to help people's lives? And at the time, I then started working as a psychotherapist, and I was teaching people meditation as part of my psychotherapy. So I would be trying to teach people to focus and relax and shift their mind, but actually people were having a lot of difficulty doing it. And even me as a psychotherapist was having a hard time meditating. And so we recognized that we could take this technology that we'd been building that actually let you understand what was going on inside your brain and combine it with the practice of meditation to be able to make a tool that could make meditation easy, to make a tool that could let you know what was going on in your mind while you were meditating, when you were focused, when your mind was wandering, when you were relaxed, and to be able to teach you more effectively the incredible skill of meditation.
So the product, well, step it back a bit. I think, you know, when I first started meditation or was introduced to it, you know, my first thought goes back to, you know, people sitting in a corner humming fingers together. But, you know, I think that having meditation framed in that light may make people a little bit intimidated to try this practice. What is meditation? If you were going to explain to someone who would really like to start or is interested in it, what would you define as meditation?
So people have a lot of misconceptions about meditation, and they see this weird or woo-woo thing, or people sitting there with their eyes closed. The definition of meditation is just a practice or a training that leads to healthy and positive mind states. Meditation is training your brain, and it's training your brain to take it out of the kinds of thoughts that are difficult and frustrating and depressing, and put your mind onto things that are neutral. So the most basic practice of meditation is a focused attention meditation. And in a focused attention meditation, what you're doing is you put your attention on your breath. When your mind wanders away from your breath onto a difficult thought, you simply choose to move your mind away from that thought and come back to your breath. And you do this over and over again. So you're sitting there with your eyes opened or closed and focusing on something neutral, usually your breath. When your mind wanders into a thought and you get caught up on a thought, you say, hey, nope, I don't want to go there. I'm going to let that thought go. I'm going to choose to come back to my breath instead. And this very simple practice is actually incredibly profound. Because as you're doing this, what you're doing is you're starting to shift your relationship to your thoughts. You don't actually have to spend time in those thoughts that are negative and frustrating. You are learning the skill of moving your mind elsewhere. And so that is one of the fundamental cores of a meditation practice. So meditation, we're learning to shift our minds away from difficult thoughts and onto things that are neutral. And we're also learning to spend time with our bodies and relax them. So in meditation, you are breathing deeply with deep breaths into your belly. And as you do so, you're cueing your body to relax.
No, you finish up your thought.
Yeah, so if I was going to define meditation, it's just a practice for your brain, and it encompasses learning how to shift your mind out of difficult places and how to calm your body so it stays relaxed.
So are we supposed to have no thoughts when we're meditating? Is that the idea? Or just put thoughts in a place or think about things differently? What is the goal?
So people have this misconception that you're supposed to have no thoughts. Our brains really rarely have no thoughts. Like even if you've been meditating for years, you still have lots of thoughts coming in. The question is, what do you do with those thoughts? So most of us, when we have a thought, we just think it. We have a thought like, you know, oh no, this, you know, I'm stuck in traffic, it's awful. And then you just keep thinking about the traffic. When you practice meditation, what you learn is that you don't have to actually engage those thoughts. You can have the thought coming in about, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. And then you can say, yes, I am. And you can let that thought go and shift your mind elsewhere. You're changing your relationship to your thoughts.
And do you find that, stop there. How long would you say is a good time frame to meditate? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour? Is there an optimal time?
So there are literally thousands of studies that are done on meditation, thousands of published scientific studies, and they tend to look at 20 minutes a day of meditation. But 20 minutes a day can be hard to do. So people often ask me this question of like, what's the best amount of time to meditate? The best amount of time to meditate is the amount of time that you are willing to do it for. So I recommend starting with like 3 minutes. Just sit for 3 minutes, put your attention on your breath. When your mind wanders to a thought, let the thought go and just choose to come back to your breath. Do that for 3 minutes. After a few days of doing it for 3 minutes, do it for 5 minutes and then 10 and then maybe 15 and maybe you can just stop there. And as you do this practice, what you're going to start to notice is you have the sensation of less thoughts in your head. You feel calmer. You're more able to take your mind out of negative places and you're more able to react appropriately to situations because you're not jumping the gun on your thoughts and feelings. You're instead taking the time to actually stop and assess an experience and then make a move or have a thought about it.
And do you find as someone who's practiced meditation, how many years have you been practicing?
So I would say that I was trying to practice meditation for probably 5 years. And then I started using Muse, the tool that we built. And then I sort of went like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Now I get it. And Muse has now been out for 6 years. So I've been really meditating for 6 years and trying unsuccessfully for 5 years prior to that.
Well, I think we have this conception, right? That it's got to be done a particular way. Like with a lot of things in life, we have an ideal that we want to strive for. And I don't think that's really the intention of meditation, is it? It's a practice. I think you get better with it. And do you find that if you take even 3 minutes each day to work on a meditation practice, do you find that this spills out into the rest of your day? The benefits leap into the rest of your day, or is it just within that 3 minutes?
So it's the same thing as exercise. So if you do 3 minutes of exercise, you will feel like, you know, slightly more engaged, you know, immediately after you're going to feel more benefit. And then throughout the rest of the day, you might feel a little bit stronger. You might just notice something. 3 minutes, not much. But when you start doing it every single day and you have a regular routine, then you start to really notice the benefits. And, you know, if you're regularly exercising for 20 minutes a day for a week, every single day, you will definitely notice the benefits. So it's like any practice, as you start to ramp it up, and particularly as you do it daily and consistently, you really start to notice the benefit. And meditation is something that you can do in your practice for 3, 5, 10, 15 minutes seated, but it's also something that you then carry with you throughout your day. You carry with you the ability to, whenever you are feeling stressed, to stop, to relax your muscles, to breathe deeply, to focus your mind, and then do whatever it is that's in front of you.
Where do you think most people go wrong when they start their practice?
I think most people have unrealistic expectations, like they need to sit there for 20 minutes with their eyes closed in lotus position.
I agree.
Most people can't do that. And don't worry, don't try to do that. Sit in a comfortable chair. Have your eyes opened or closed as is comfortable to you. Sit wherever you want, you know, in a position that's comfy, whatever works for you. And do it for a short period of time initially as you begin to practice and get the hang of it. Because it can be hard to do. You know, you're sitting there alone with your thoughts and it can feel awkward or weird. And there's like no little coach in your side, your head telling you to do it. So don't judge yourself. Don't be frustrated. Whatever happens, happens. And part of the practice of meditation is the practice of being okay with whatever is happening in that moment.
It's funny because when I first was introduced to meditation, I mean, I'd heard of it, obviously, but when I really thought, you know, I think I want to give this a try, it was within a yoga studio. So my first was, you know, sitting cross-legged with, you know, my two fingers, my thumb to my middle finger, and we chanted a bit and then closed our eyes and went into a meditation. And I heard cars outside and I heard people breathing, and I thought, and I was frustrated. I really was frustrated with the whole thing. And whenever they would try and do meditation in those times where it was like in a shavasana, I wouldn't meditate. I'd be almost asleep. So I thought, I'm missing the whole point of this. And then I went, you know, I Googled and I YouTube, and I sort of got the sense like you're giving that, you know, it doesn't have to be that. And to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, to me, the breath and controlling your breath and understanding different ways to breathe is the key to getting into a more mindful meditative state. I don't know if that's right, but that's sort of what I've come around to.
So the breath can be incredibly helpful because the breath is just an activity that's happening in your body and it is not you thinking. So in meditation, what you're learning to do is move out of the process of being stuck in your thoughts, your racing thinking mind, and moving into putting your attention on something that's neutral. So when you put your attention on your breath, you feel your lungs expanding. You feel the sensation of breathing. And what you're just doing is just becoming engaged with that. And now you're not thinking about, you know, the mortgage or the sound of the cars outside or anything else. You are just with yourself. And the breath is an amazing thing because the breath is your life force. The breath is, you know, the act of you being alive and here. And the breath also has a really important role to play in relaxing your body. So as we breathe in deeply, we're actually cueing our heart rate to slow down. As you breathe in, your heart rate increases. As you breathe out, your heart rate decreases. So that's why in a yogic breath, you might have an inhale for 4 counts and an exhale for 6 counts. So you're exhaling longer than your inhale. And as you spend more time in this long exhale, you're actually cueing your body to slow down because you're spending more time in this lowered heart rate. And your breath is also, your diaphragm is connected to your vagus nerve. And your vagus nerve is the part of your body that stimulates your rest and relaxation response. So as you breathe in deeply, you're actually mechanically pulling on your vagus nerve and you are cueing your body to go further into rest and relaxation. So breath, you're right, is an incredibly important key, both because it is not thinking, it is just the act of being with you, and two, because it actually signals to your body relaxation through multiple different pathways.
Before we, you've just hit on some of that. I'd love to talk about the sciencey part, but I think we're going to leave that for the break. But before we leave it till after the break, but before we hit the halfway mark, Can we meditate while we're walking? Can we meditate where we're, when we're just standing somewhere? Or does it have to be in a spot that we dedicate daily to a practice?
So you can meditate while you're walking. You can meditate while you're standing in line at the grocery store. The act of meditation is the act of intentionally putting your attention somewhere. So if you're doing a walking meditation, for example, rather than walking mindlessly and just, you know, being caught up in your thoughts, you can choose to focus on something specific. So you, people in a walking meditation can focus on the feeling of the ground underneath their feet, or you can focus on the way that you're breathing, or you can focus on a particular visual thing that you're seeing, or you can focus just on the sounds that you're hearing around you. So each time you're intentionally shifting your focus onto something that you choose that is not your thoughts, you are doing an act of meditation. You are bringing yourself into the present moment and out of your negative, ruminating, frustrating thoughts.
Okay, so the reason that I asked that question, everybody, is now you're hooked. You have to do this. There's no excuse. You can't say that you don't have a quiet spot or you don't have... You can pick any time of day when you're alone and just start this practice. And it's something that I do. And I have to tell you, I don't do sort of the Zen one where I have a spot in my house because there's no quiet in my house. It's just, that's the nature of my house. And we're recording here today and I'm sort of in my bedroom near my closet because I don't have a quiet space. But it does show you that, yeah, you can start this practice and you don't have to be perfect in it. And sometimes the beauty is in the imperfection and the journey of finding out how you can change your mindset and change your thought. And when we come back after the break, Ariel, I would like to talk about the science behind and the research behind meditation, because this is a practice that has been going on for centuries. And I find that in the Western world, this came over from the East. I find that people in the West, we are still much more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? We need the information. We need the reasons why, as opposed to just sort of taking a concept. So when we get back from our break, I would like to talk about some of the science behind it and get you all believing in this, because it really is impactful and it is a beautiful piece to add to your health protocol. So we will be back in a minute.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
You are listening to The Health Hub here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us and be a part of the show, email thh@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking with Arielle, and she is going to be speaking more about her great technology to help us meditate. But before we get into that, let's talk about the science, Arielle, of meditation and how it can help us in our general health.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there have been over 1,000 published studies in reputable journals talking about meditation's ability to help our minds and our bodies. And it ranges from meditation's ability to improve your brain, improve the aging of your brain, decrease pain. So there's one amazing study that shows that meditators with an experienced meditation practice can experience up to 90% reduction in pain, and people with the shorter meditation practice could experience up to 50% reduction in pain. Meditation has been shown to decrease your blood pressure, help with anxiety and depression. Like, the science behind it is quite extraordinary, because as we do this simple act of focusing our attention on our breath and breathing deeply, we are triggering our body to move out of fight or flight, its anxiety response, and into rest and digest. And as you do that, your body's natural repair mechanisms start to come back online. Your immune system strengthens because stress or cortisol impacts your immune system and downregulates it. So when you move into rest and digest, your immune system is able to come back online and help protect you or fight disease more effectively. Your heart rate slows down, which can bring your blood pressure down. And then on the mind part, as you're able to move your mind out of difficult, negative, racing thoughts, you're able to more effectively live and manage depression or anxiety or just the general stress and negativity that we all have in our minds. So this very simple act actually can have a profound impact on both your thinking and your body, your physiology.
So people who are ill, meditation definitely has a place. This isn't just preventative. This is for people who may be suffering with an illness or chronic disease or a situation that's very stressful for them. Meditation could be a real life force for them.
Yeah. So there's actually over 200 published studies just using Muse itself. And one of the studies that we just did with Muse was with the Mayo Clinic. So Mayo Clinic was using Muse as a meditation tool with breast cancer patients awaiting surgery. And it demonstrated that it helped these breast cancer patients decrease the stress and fatigue of cancer care and also improve their quality of life. And the Mayo Clinic was so impressed with these results that they came to us to do 3 additional studies that we'll be rolling out this year across multiple conditions. So, you know, even just with Muse, we've been able to see the impact of meditation's ability to help you live with a chronic disease more effectively. We did one study with Baycrest Hospital here in Toronto, and in that study, they showed that people using Muse were able to decrease their stress, which is obvious. They were able to improve their cognitive function, so they did better at standard cognitive tasks, and they were had a better relationship with their body and less experience of symptoms like headache, pain, and nausea.
That's fascinating. I work with cancer patients, as you guys all know, and that study with, you know, I just see people sitting, going into their chemotherapy, especially for the first time, and having a device like that that can help calm them down would be a wonderful thing to have. Why did you develop this product? You know, most meditation comes from, you know, sitting, as we talked about, and developing this practice. So why did you start and develop Muse?
So as I mentioned, I was a therapist and I was recommending meditation to my patients and they were having a really hard time doing it. And I was somebody with a very busy mind myself and I would sit down to meditate and I was finding it really frustrating. And I had been working with this early device out of the laboratory that I was working in and recognized that if we could give people some feedback on what was going on in their mind during their meditation, we could make meditation much easier. Because to meditate, you know, you're sitting there, you're trying to let go of your thoughts, you're not really sure if you're doing it right or where your brain is at. And we recognized that with Muse, what we could do is actually give you real-time feedback on your brain during meditation. You could actually hear when you're focused, when you're in the meditation zone, and you can hear when your mind has wandered. So we're translating your brain's activity into guiding sounds. And the metaphor we use is your mind is like the weather. So when your mind is thinking and distracted, you actually hear it as stormy. And as you bring yourself to quiet, focused attention, you're quieting the storm. So we recognize that we could make a tool that really could make this process of meditation much easier, much more tangible, much easier to understand, and really rooted in science. This is literally like what your brain is doing. It's used by scientific institutions all over the world to make meditation tangible. And so that was really the origin of Muse.
So let's explain to everybody, you know, we pull it out of the box. This is a headband and it goes on your head, obviously, across your forehead, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They need earphones.
Yep. So the Muse is very, very easy to use. You know, we really say anyone's grandma can use it. It's like a Fitbit, but a Fitbit for your mind. Rather than walking, it's tracking your meditation. So you pull it out of the box, it pairs to an app on your phone, and then you're hearing real-time feedback during your meditation. So you plug in your headphones, and you're actually hearing when you're focused, and you're hearing when your mind is wandering. And so it's guiding you back into focus and out of your thoughts. And then afterwards, you look at the app and you get data. Just like in your Fitbit, it tells you how many steps you did, and that's very motivating. Here, you get charts and graphs and scores that encourage you to keep on meditating. You can see your progress session after session. You can see how much time you spent in calm, and you can begin to reflect on and understand how to spend more time in that calm state. And for a lot of people who start meditating, you know, being alone with your mind can be kind of intimidating. And this is really like having a coach there, like somebody who's encouraging you, getting you back into calm and keeping you in that state.
And are you supposed to use this until you get to a certain stage of meditation, or this is something that you would use all the time?
So it varies from person to person. There are some people who didn't know how to meditate and they used Muse as a complete novice to start their meditation practice. And then after a few months, they're like, great, now I know how to meditate. And they give it to somebody else in their family and they just go on and do their meditation themselves. There are some people who have used it literally every single day for the last 6 years since it came out. And it's just their regular part of the practice, just like, you know, you use a toothbrush to brush your teeth or equipment in the gym every week. There are experts, you know, so Muse is good for novices who've never meditated before. It's also great for people with an established practice because you get a new insight into your meditation and a new tool to be able to take you deeper and in different directions.
So what are the sounds that are coming? So it's like an EKG, or it is an EKG.
EEG, yeah.
EEG. And the waves are coming into your phone? is it?
Yep. So the headband is tracking your brainwaves, your EEG, and it's translating them into guiding sounds. And so you're hearing when your mind is wandering and it's stormy, or when it's calm and it's quiet. We also have different soundscapes, and then we also have hundreds and hundreds of guided meditations. So whatever topic is, you know, important for you, if you're waking up and not feeling so happy, we have a meditation for morning joy. If you just had a fight with your partner, we have meditations for calming down after difficult conversations. We have meditations to help you sleep, meditations to relax your body. And then we have specific collections. We actually have a cancer collection coming out soon. We have meditations for first responders, for veterans, for PTSD, meditations for college students, for moms, for kids. So really we say whatever comes up in your life, whatever difficult situation you're walking into or you've just walked out of, we have a meditation that's going to help you find perspective, calm your mind and body, and be able to move on really effectively with your day.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. And truth be told, I have not tried it. And it's something that I'm very interested in trying because I do find that it's hard to focus sometimes. And you know, everyone needs a little help. It's like a biofeedback, correct? It's like biohacking, another type of biohack.
Exactly. Yep. It's biofeedback and it's really effective.
I think people like to see that. I think people like to see results. And I think it's a positive encouragement to move forward. Now, Ken, we've talked about, I think in my mind, I always see adults doing this, but what about children? Can they benefit from meditation or are their brains just too active all the time?
Children can benefit significantly from meditation. So there's one amazing study done in schools in British Columbia. And there they saw kids meditating, elementary students meditating in school, had a 15% improvement in their math scores. Wow. Mm. As well as a 25% improvement in pro-social behavior and a 24% decrease in aggression. So kids can definitely learn to meditate, and it's really effective. It's effective in helping them focus, emotionally self-regulate, and being able to, you know, manage the stress of day to day.
It would be great during this time to get this idea of muse and of meditation for children out to moms who have now, moms and dads, who have now had to take their children from school and are trying to develop a day system for their kids. You know, we're under a very stressful time, adults and children. I think that we don't appreciate sometimes what the children may be thinking. And I think this would be a great opportunity for parents, for anybody to sort of take in this process of meditation while we're here at home, where we're under the stress of the unknown. It's new for everybody. I think this is a beautiful piece that we could add to our day.
It's really, really effective. And I mean, I am currently a mom working from home with a child who is here with me, you know, needing to entertain him and find focus in my day to be able to continue my work while the world is changing dramatically around me. And my meditation practice has been key, and I meditate with him. And, you know, I can give him a guided meditation and have him sit down for 10 minutes and do that while I'm doing my work. And we can also sit down and meditate together. And it really helps me focus. It helps me not feel overwhelmed. It helps me be able to manage the kind of incoming news and be able to process it through my mind and body more effectively, and keep our household far more sane.
We focus a lot, and there are wonderful, wonderful people out there doing wonderful things, trainers and gyms trying to keep us physically active, trying to keep our physicality going while we're staying at home. But to me, a piece that may not be as well focused on is this mental area of health. Is that something that you can speak to?
Yes. So mental health is incredibly important in this time. You know, as you're listening to this, we're probably all still in lockdown in our homes and listening to the news every day. And it's very easy for your mind to want to get caught up with what's wrong. And it's an incredibly important practice to learn to recognize that that's where your mind is and to be able to make a different choice in some moments. And it's very easy to get stuck in the worry loop. It's very easy to get stuck in, you know, concerns. And when we get stuck there, we're literally just stuck in a rut. We cannot get ourselves out of that. And it's not healthy for our brains and it's not healthy for our bodies. We have lots of stress coursing through our system, which reduces your immune function. What you want to be doing is regularly giving yourself opportunities to quiet your mind and quiet your body. You want to be starting a meditation practice where you're doing that sitting for 3, 5, 8, 10 minutes. And then you're going to want to throughout the day, take a stop, take your attention out of the ruminating thoughts, put it on something neutral, take deep breaths and relax your body. And the more you practice this, the more your body is going to be used to being in this calm state. And the more you recognize that you have the power to shift into a place of neutral, or a place of positive, and a place of focusing on the connection, the love, and the things that you do have here right now.
I think you said something very important. It's that you have the power.
Yes.
These are new times, as I said, and we are all being catapulted into trying to make our way through what's going on in the world. And that can give us a sense of no control or loss of control. I mean, never have we been told to stay in our homes, not that I know of. Never have we been shut out from each other and society. And it can be overwhelming, just this whole sense of not being able to do what we want to do, and not having that control over our lives. And I think what you said, getting that sense of control, is a key piece of mental health. And I think that you've really nailed it on the head there by talking about that.
Yeah. And you just, if you succeed to do it for 30 seconds, you've got control. You know, it doesn't have to be every moment. And part of it is, you know, if you feel like you're experiencing chaos, you can let yourself be in that feeling. That's okay too. You don't need to control every moment. But also know that you have the option to stop, to pay attention to your breath, to breathe deeply into your stomach, and to, for that moment, be able to have just a little bit of peace. And the more you do that, the more you practice that, the more you'll be able to spend more time here and start to create some choice around where your mind and body are at.
Yeah, and that is really important. You said, you know, these thoughts that we have aren't wrong. They're not wrong. They are. And our thoughts are a part of us, are a part of our being and how we perceive situations. So they're not wrong. And I think we can be very hard on ourselves. It's taking these thoughts that we have and not making them harmful to us. Yes. And I think this is exactly what you're getting at. Now, do you have anything else on the back burners that's coming to light for your business and maybe in tandem with Muse?
Yeah, so we've just developed an amazing tool called Muse S that also helps you fall asleep. And, you know, we've noticed that it's critically important now because a lot of people are staying up at night with a racing mind. And as your mind races, it becomes very difficult to sleep. And again, sleep is incredibly important for immunity. So you want to be able to sleep effectively so that you can wake up the next day, able to manage the day, able to manage your priorities, and able to have a healthy and functioning body and mind. And what Muse S does is it actually guides you into sleep with bio and neurofeedback. So it is giving you what we call sleep journeys, these beautiful meditations that teach you to quiet your mind before bedtime. And then it also creates a soundscape out of your heart, your breath, and your body. And it slows down that soundscape to entrain your body in a way that's designed to help you fall asleep faster. So what we've seen with people using Muse S to fall asleep is that they're able to lull themselves into sleep in a way that's designed to be in a much shorter period of time. You fall asleep much more calmly. Your body is more calm throughout the night. And then you're able to wake up more refreshed and able to tackle the day. So Muse S has been, you know, an extraordinary tool for people right now.
And is this a new device or is this an additional part of the app?
So Muse S is a new device. We have two devices, Muse 2, and that gives you meditations during the daytime. And then Muse S is actually this comfortable soft band that you can fall asleep with. And so that gives you both the daytime meditations as well as the meditations to help you fall asleep that entrain your body into sleep.
Wonderful. Now, if someone was interested in getting hold of you or finding out more about the product, where can we direct them?
You can find Muse on the Muse website, choosemuse.com. And if you want to find me, I am Ariel's Musings on Instagram and Ariel.Garten on Twitter.
Wonderful. It's a beautiful product. I can't wait to try it because the sleep one, especially because I am having trouble with sleep lately. I don't know what's going on, but thank you so much for gracing us with such wonderful and helpful information, especially, you know, during this time. I think this is a very appropriate show for everybody, and I know that they're going to get a lot of information. So I wish you the best of luck with your new projects. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Ariel.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Everybody, we will talk to you next week on The Health Hub.
Have been listening to The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi, here on Radio Maria Canada.